Amen. Father, we thank you for your speaking through the epistle of Peter and also by your Spirit through all the brothers. It's so practical, so living, so effective. Strengthen all the saints in these days. Through this word, that we would not just be hearers, but doers, especially in our daily life, in our normal life, not just in the meetings. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us through the anointing which dwells in us. Enlighten us. Purify and cleanse our conscience. Renew our mind. We want to give ourselves to you daily, even to experience you as our burnt offering and your humanity. We want to be prepared to go through all the sufferings. Lord, we want to make it by faith together and reach the goal together to enter into glory. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and for the love of all for all the saints. We pray that this love would be effective in each one of us and for one another, not just for ourselves, but for the fulfillment of your purpose, for your glory. Lord, you're coming soon. We all want to be ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you. Bless also the fellowship tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I think the sharing from this morning, I really treasured it and it touched me. And it was very practical. If the word is not practical for us all, then it's useless and worthless. But I thank the Lord that all of his words are very practical. It's not just a high vision. What's the use of a glorious vision? Sorry, can you hear me? My dad was asking that. Is that better? What's the use of such wonderful words if it can't be lived out practically? People want good teachings, but not practical things. Regardless of who wrote the scripture, Paul wrote nice things, but he always brought us back to practical things in our daily living, also in Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians, in Timothy, the epistles, Hebrews, Peter, James, John. The word of God is not just for our knowledge, but for our living, that we would be transformed, that we would know how we should conduct ourselves in the house of God. I really want to encourage you and also myself. If this word is not practically lived out in my personal living and in my family life, then it also won't be effective in the church life. That's impossible. Paul also said to the elders, whoever wants to be an elder and does not know how to keep his household in order and his children, then how can he rule over or lead the church in the house of God. It doesn't work. If we can't put our own life in order, how can we put the church life in order? If I cannot tame my mouth, my lips, and my daily living at home, how can I suddenly speak spiritually in the meetings and give a good message? And even if I could give a good message, do you think the Lord would honor it? Do you think it will give life? It's just a good teaching. And the teachings become empty. It's a word play in German. Teaching is the same as emptiness. It sounds the same. That's why this word is so practical. I enjoy it so much. It's so sound and makes us healthy. It's so good to hear the sharing of the brothers because it makes us healthy. It penetrates into the heart and it exposes our corrupt condition. The word, when it enters into our heart, must shine light. It must expose all the darkness. Otherwise, it would be ineffective. It would not work. And it would just make us proud. Yeah, now I know it. Now I can tell others about it. Now I can give a good sharing. But what's the use of that? Look, after 2,000 years, where can you find the church? Where is Zion? For 2,000 years, from Abraham to the first coming of the Lord, what was there? There was 2,000 years. It was a very long time, whether you are in the U.S. or in Asia or China, over anywhere in this world. But in those days, at the time of the apostles, what do we see today? What do we see in ourselves with our history in the last 60 years? What do you see in Europe? Even with Paul's work, at the end, all the churches in Asia left him. They didn't want to hear it anymore. Instead of listening to Paul, they wanted to listen to others, and they had itching ears. There were so many distractions and so on. We are fallen people, even from birth. That's what David said in Psalm 51. I was born in sin. For this reason, we must constantly turn to the Lord. Constantly. If Zion is not built in the meetings, first Zion is built in your personal life and my personal life, and then in the family. If it doesn't work and it is not effective in the family, how could it work in the church? Tell me, think about this logically. The Bible is very logical. We don't just need to be spiritual, but also logical. Once a brother asked me, how can I live in the Spirit more? Then I said, first, live soundly, soberly. Because if you're not sober and sound mind, how can you live by the Spirit? If you cannot think soundly or soberly, but your twisted mind, how can you live in the Spirit? It doesn't work to be sober. Did Paul not say in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by your spirit? Did he say that? No. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If my mind is crooked, how can I live in the Spirit? How is that possible? If you're already thinking crookedly, then you can't know the Spirit. Then you will live according to the lusts of the eyes and the lusts of the flesh. And then you're proud. You're proud. I am right. What do you have to say to me? No. If we want to know God's will, it's not just through the Spirit, but by the renewing of your mind. Because what you think is very practical. So the renewing of the mind is important to have a healthy and sound mind. Paul told Timothy, God has given us a spirit of power, power to make decisions. I need to make decisions properly and right. And of love, I also need to rule over my emotions, not the lusts of the flesh, but the divine love which was poured out by the Holy Spirit into our hearts. I have to have my capability to love and to rule over my emotions, and I shouldn't let it run wildly. Oh, I love this. I'm doing this because I love that. No. And then also the spirit of a sound mind. When the Spirit works in me, and if I live according to the Spirit, then the first thing that will be expressed is in my mind, that it is of a sound mind. If my mind just goes somewhere, I will say, no, Lord, I don't want to have that. Lord, renew my mind. It's not just spirit, spirit, spirit. No, I'm not just spirit. I am spirit, soul, and body. And if I walk according to the flesh, then the spirit can't do anything. Is it not written in Galatians? Walk by the Spirit, that you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, because the Spirit wars against the flesh, and don't think that the flesh will be obedient. No, the flesh will war back, fight back. Then in the end, you won't know what you should do. Then you need to make a decision. Do you want to walk according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? You need to decide. We need to stand before this decision every day. Do I want to do what I wish for myself, or do I choose Zion? Do I want to be holy, or do I want to walk according to the flesh? You have to decide. No one can decide for you. To be of a sound mind, to be sober. Earlier we said, Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. And they forgot about the mind. Oh, we don't need the mind. And then people would say, these saints don't have any mind, proper mind. I'm not an angel. Are you an angel? The angels are spirits, but we are men. What's the difference between an angel and a man? What would you rather be? No. I am a man, not just with a spirit, but with a soul. The spirit needs to be reborn. Praise the Lord. It's begotten again, but the soul needs salvation, and salvation to the uttermost. How much is your soul saved, and how much is my soul saved? That depends. It depends on the transformation. But for this work of transformation, I need to cooperate with the Lord. Your family life is important. Your marriage life is important. The children with the parents is important. How do you learn to obey God if you have not learned to obey your parents? You even might accuse them. I know better. You don't understand me. What? How much older are your parents than you are? My parents often told us children, I have eaten more rice than you have. Of course they ate more rice, because they're a lot older than we are. But it's not about how much rice you ate, but how much experience they have had, and how much experience I had made in my life as I was a young child, when I was at school or at the university. It's the experience. It's the experience that counts. That's why Paul said, knowledge puffs up. Puffs up. It makes us proud. We think we know everything. The children always say, I know, I know. When the parents say something, oh, I know that. It's not about the knowledge, but it's about your experience. So to build Zion is not, oh, I want to build the church. Then first build Zion together with your wife. And the wife must build Zion together with their husbands at home, with the children. This is where the building of Zion begins. That's why we must be living stones. A building without stones. You first have to have the stones to build Zion. To build Zion starts with one stone, which is the Lord, a precious stone. It's not for the religious people. They rejected this stone, but the Lord begins with one stone, the precious stone, precious to God. And this stone is Jesus Christ. Without this stone, how can we build the house? And do you think that it can be built just Christ without any other stones? But he made Peter to a stone. God begins with one stone, and the Lord began with 11 stones. That's why we have to come to him as to a living stone, learn from him how he became, by God, was made into a stone for the building up of Zion. The Lord said, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Such a cornerstone can bring forth many small stones for the building up. Without stones, there is no building. It also depends on what kind of stone we are. Are we a corrupt stone? Are we a disobedient stone? We can't even obey our parents. We can't even obey one another. We don't even obey God's word, which we have read. How can we build Zion? This is why I treasure the practical sharing of all the brothers. The word, I need to hear this word. Not just the saints, but I also need to hear this word. It makes me healthy. It heals me. I thank the Lord that such words are still spoken today in Zion, in the church, in the conference, and not something that's so high that nobody can reach or attain. This is why, dear saints, we should be those who do not just hear this word, but through the Spirit and through Christ in us are doers. And this is what it means to live is Christ. But you can't just say, I live Christ. No, we need the word. We need the fellowship. We need examples. We need such teachers and apostles who are examples. In the last 60 years, brothers, I'm not saying this out of pride, but it's out of my experience. This grace that the God gave me is not because I wanted to travel around a lot. I'm already tired of traveling, believe me. I'm thankful for Zoom, then I don't have to travel anymore. But I saw so much in my travels. I saw so much. For example, one time I was on the East Coast. I was called by the brothers to go to the East Coast because there were so many problems there. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it was so shameful what I saw. The elder there. There were elders, but there was one who was the king among the elders. He was the Pope. And the other elders were submitting to him. And they didn't dare to say anything. And you know what he said? You want to wait in the 1,000-year kingdom, but I want to reign now. Oh my. What kind of a teaching? Where does it say that? Where is it written there? Paul wrote to the Corinthians, you already want to reign now without us. He said, that's fine. I wish you could reign. And now an elder is saying he wants to reign. And what was even worse, when his wife said, yeah, my husband is the elder and I am the elderess. Oh, my goodness. Do you know what I told the saints? I only know elders. There's no elderess. They're only adulteresses. In the Bible, there's no elderess, only adulteresses. And what was the result? It became Babylon. Babylon. Tohu bohu, chaos. And then a big men encountered me, came towards me. And he said, "What are you doing here, you dirty Chinaman? Go back to where you came from. What are you doing here?" What was I doing there? Nothing. I was seeking fellowship. Later I said, "Lord, please, don't send me to such a place again." But that decision is not up to me. You know, to the glory of the Lord, I want to say, within 1 month, the Lord blew away the entire problem. Not because I was capable. I didn't even do anything. I just prayed. Then I also saw churches where the wife of the elders reign. Oh my goodness. And the elders were powerless. Each time at the conference, I saw fighting. And at the end, the fighting went over to the brothers. One was a positive leader, the other is a negative leader, and then a neutral leader. It's like it's like electricity. Positive, negative, and neutral. How can you build the church that way? Think a little bit. And we want to build Zion today. We need many living stones that are transformed. It's not about the knowledge. No. But it is about living stones. Living must also mean holy. Because Christ is the life. And if we are not growing, as Peter wrote, if we first lay aside all the malice, this leaven, all malice, the self and flesh, your own thoughts, your own thinking. We're so rebellious. If we don't first purge all this out and then take the pure milk of the Word as nourishment so that we might grow unto salvation, how can we be living stones? Tell me. And then, in the end, we interpret and understand the Word according to our own thoughts, doing what is right in our own eyes and our own ability. Then you want to build the church? Even if there are only 30 people, you won't be able to build anything. You'll just destroy everything. Do you think it was easy for the Lord to build up the 12, and one of them was betrayed him? And the other 11, oh my goodness, they all had so many opinions, especially Peter. And they fought against each other, who's the greatest among them. And they didn't understand what the Lord often told them. And they were disciples of the Lord. Do you think the Lord had it easy? Especially at the end. with Christ's sufferings on the cross, they all ran away. Do you think it's easy to become a living stone? In the last 60 years, I've seen so many good brothers in the beginning, but where are they now? Because of problems, half of them left. Because of other problems, half of them remained and the good ones were sent away. I told the Lord, oh my goodness. Then the Lord comforted me. He told me, and when I was on this earth, they also rejected me and they even crucified me. Do you think to build the church is important? It is important, but is it simple? 60 years ago, I said, now we have a vision, we've seen a vision, and now it will be built. I had no concept of how it would be built. I thought it would be built through our capabilities, abilities, and work and labor. We're doing a work to preach the gospel. I'm going to go to Europe, and we're going to do everything, and migration. But in the end, it was zero. Nil. It was vanity. It was all human work. And it was destroyed. Even if you gained 1,000 people, so what? Doesn't the Catholic Church, hasn't it gained more? What is the biggest church on the earth? The local churches? You? In Rome. Worldwide. Billions of members. But are they living stones? Dead stones. It's not the house of God. The devil dwells there. And all the evil spirits and birds there. Do you want to build such a house? It's very simple. The devil will even bless you. What we are building, not many people want to build. Are you hopeless?
Discouraged?
No. Are you sure? Then why do we always complain? Hopefully, no more complaining, Ute. No. Good. You build the church. The Lord is building the church, and therefore I should not complain anymore. That's right. We all have to learn this. I also have to learn this. Do you think I have nothing to learn anymore? I have so much to learn. Still. To build Zion, a spiritual house. Spiritual also means to be reasonable, to be transformed. We will be transformed by the renewing of the mind, to be sober, of a sound mind. Our tongue, our lips must be tamed, otherwise we'll spread so much damage to the churches through your speaking. Then you will spread lies and your twisted thoughts. that will destroy the church. Learn. We are not just spirit. We are spirit, soul, and the body. And the body also must be made alive. Otherwise, we'll spread death. The lusts dwell in our flesh, and the self in our soul, and the spirit is so weak. Then in the end, Paul said, and he prayed, that by the Holy Spirit, the inner man would be strengthened. And we can see. How do you see that you're strengthened? By being grounded in the love of the Lord. Grounded and rooted and grounded in the love. Why? So that we can together gain Christ through the holy priesthood. Do you know why the priesthood and the sacrifices are so important? Why? Why do we bring offerings? We do it by experiencing Christ. It's not about ourself. That's why the brothers said the experience is not, the offering should not be about telling, oh yeah, I wanted to do this, but then I turned. Okay. But what is important is that we immediately say, I immediately said, no, I gained Christ. It's Christ in me who strengthened me. He is my sin offering. I want to be an overcomer. I took Christ. And I thank the Father for this wonderful Christ. Sometimes, in our offerings, we're still glorifying ourselves. No. We want to glorify Christ, not ourselves, not even a little bit. This is why this spiritual and holy priesthood, the church, is a spiritual house. A priesthood. It's so important. I cannot emphasize it enough. It is the wisdom of God which requires us to bring Him the sacrifices for His food. Because in His foreknowledge, God knew and ordained it in such a way. Without this desire to bring spiritual offerings to Him, you would not prepare in your daily life and use and redeem every opportunity to gain Christ. Not just, oh Lord, save me, forgive me, I take your blood, oh Lord, I failed again, and Lord, forgive me, I made nonsense. Oh Lord Jesus, no. I want to gain Christ in His wonderful humanity and be ready and prepared to go through the sufferings into glory. I want to have peace. I don't want to have fighting. I want to experience the power of His resurrection and the swallowing up all the death. I want to be a person in the church in Zion who does God's will. Lord, show me clearer what your will is. This is Christ as our burnt offering, as the Lord said. My food is to do the will of the Father, and not just halfway, but I want to fulfill it, all the way to fulfillment, obedience to the death on the cross. But in such small matters, we can't even obey Him. How much more the death on the cross? We start with small things to learn, but don't just remain there, but we want to go on. I want to go on. I don't just want to build the church according to my own opinions, and then I with my capabilities or abilities, I can just destroy the church. Believe me, I've seen that. It is very important, a holy priesthood. This wonderful Christ. How often do we experience the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings? Have you not read often what Paul wrote and what Peter also said? Now, this example which the Lord left for us, not just that he died. Some cry because there were brothers who wanted to teach us that we should cry at the breaking of bread because he suffered so much for us. What's the use of all the crying, shedding tears? He already resurrected. Oh, Lord, we have so many concepts. We have so many concepts. What should we do? We have to learn. We have to learn from other people's mistakes and as well as our own. We learn from mistakes of Peter. Right? We also learn from the positive experiences they had, but also from the negative experiences. And sometimes the negative experience is more often. It's more a gain for us than the positive experiences. I learn much too much from the negative experiences of other people. Ask the former young people in the church. I told them many stories of the negative experiences so that they wouldn't make the same mistake. Winston Churchill. What we've learned from history is that we haven't learned anything from history. This is a true saying. What have you learned from the history in the Bible? Nothing. Paul said, why are all these negative things reported about the children of Israel in the wilderness and all the rebellion and things that they did? Their disobedience, their complaining. They complained and murmured. Oh, they murmured. Paul said, this all was written that you would learn. This is written for your sakes that you would learn. Not to do exactly the same and not to repeat the same thing. And in the end, they worship the golden calf. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do you think we are any better? They all came out of Egypt. They were saved. And we also were saved. But the flesh also has to be saved. This is in Romans chapter 5. Not to be reconciled to God through the blood, but reconciled by the death of our Lord. But how much more do I still have to be saved through his life? Much more. The Lord will say you, the crucifixion work was very easy. He just had to hang on the cross for a few hours. But now, He's living in you by the Spirit, and we are grieving him daily. For 2,000 years, he's already been grieved, and we grieve. He says yes, and we say no. So which work is easier for the Lord Jesus as the high priest on the throne who is constantly interceding for us, or these few hours on the cross, or the 3.5 years of his ministry? It was just 3.5 years. But you live 80 or 100 years and you had so many problems with you. And with me, of course. To build Zion. Oh Lord, who is the problem? I am the problem. We have to say this. I am the problem. Not the others. Not the leading ones, but me. I am the problem. That's why if the I has not been crucified with Christ and remains there and is constantly having the experience of the cross, not just once for all. Yeah, I'm dead, but I'm still so living. You are a living dead one. It's no wonder that in the movies you have the living dead who are walking around like zombies. How can zombies build the church life? Living stones. Are you? Am I one? Don't think, yeah, I'm living. Oh, the church in Sardis also thought that they were alive. According to the name, they were alive, but in reality, they were dead. Such stones cannot be used for the building up of Zion, for the spiritual house, and for the holy priesthood. It doesn't work. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if we're 300 or 30, or even just 2. My goodness. That's why the building begins in your house before it even is successful, before it will be successful in the God's house. If it doesn't work at your house, then it also won't work in God's house. Lord Jesus, if you ask me today how we should build the house of God, I have no answer anymore. We have tried everything. We've tried a lot and it didn't work. And if it works today, does not mean that it'll also function tomorrow, because the Lord has to do more. We have to go on. Your calculator that worked 50 years ago does not work today. Is not so good anymore today. The carriage drawn by horses, nobody does that anymore. That's just for tourists. Horse-drawn carriage. In Kalesa in the Philippines, it's just good for the tourists. What is good for today does not mean that it'll be good for tomorrow, because the times are changing. Don't think that it'll be good tomorrow. People say, we need to obey authority and we have to do everything and say amen to everything they say. I mean, say yes, not amen. And what is happens when the beast comes? Are you going to do everything the beast says? Oh, you'll say, oh, no, he's the beast. But the government is also the beast. Have you not read Daniel? Every kingdom is a beast. If they are normal, then we would gladly obey. But if they become an evil lion or panther or a wild bull, then please, what are you doing? Are you going to do what they say? No, you have to become a martyr. You cannot fight against them, but they will persecute you. Then what are you going to do? Are you just going to say yes and do everything they say, or would you rather be persecuted and suffer? Suffer there means to be persecuted, not suffering by saying yes, yes, amen, yes, yes, yes. Yes, your son will be a daughter tomorrow, amen. Yes, and your daughter will become a son tomorrow, amen. Yeah, are you going to say amen? That's not reason. Is that reasonable? Or are you unreasonable? Or are you crazy? We are unreasonable people. The Christians should be the most reasonable, the most sober people on the entire earth. We are a special people, set apart, holy, living, clear. We can discern. We look through. We are spiritual. A spiritual man discerns all things, and he himself will be judged by others. They don't understand us. But are we so not understanding, even though Christ dwells in us? Then we ask, why that? Why this? Do I have to do this? Why does someone still have to tell you? The Word says it so clearly, and the Spirit dwells in you. The problem is we have deceived ourselves. Our heart is impure. For this reason, we need to be saved to the uttermost. I need daily salvation. But this salvation means suffering for us. If you do not do what you want, then you will suffer. Then you will be chastened. Children suffer when they don't get to do what they want. Then they dream about it. Then they get upset. And then they go out and cry. And they rant and rave. Are you such a person spiritually? If the parents say no, they all suffer. And how deep is this suffering? If you don't get to do this or not allowed to do that, then you suffer. But God says no. But this is the love of God, as Paul wrote. And as the Lord himself said, whom I love, I chasten. Do you think that the parents would rather chasten you? But you know, when you're already bigger and older, then you can't be chastened. did the Lord not also say? And Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, and the Lord said this in Revelation 3 to the church in Laodicea, whom I love, I chasten. Can the Lord chasten you? If the Lord does not chasten us anymore, or is not allowed to chasten us, then you will be a bastard, not a son. Then, when the Lord comes back, He will really have to bring you through the fire. There won't be any more grace, no more mercy, just the righteousness. Then there will be punishment. That's why Peter said so clearly that judgment, that means the chastening, begins today in God's house. Already begins today because God loves us. Or would you rather wait until the Lord comes back? And today you enjoy everything and do what you want to do. You can do that. You have the choice. We used to have a song which we don't sing anymore. Here, friend, yours is the choice. You have the choice. You can do whatever you want to do. Even when the gospel is preached to the people, they have to choose whether they want to believe and whether they want to receive it and if they want to obey or not obey. And today, after we have become believers, we also have this choice. What do you want? We want to build Zion. Zion, remember, Zion is not just the house, but it's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is more important, more strict than a house, than a family. For us today, because we are children, we are in God's house. Zion is also Jerusalem, the temple, the house of the living God. But Zion also the kingdom of God against the enemy. And this is where we are being reared to become kings and priests. If you are not a priest, you will not be able to become a king. It's impossible. The priestly service is training us to be kings. In your house, you can do whatever you want. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to make my bed. But in a nation, everybody has to do everything according to the law. If you drive, you can't just park anywhere. Otherwise, you'll get a ticket. You have to pay your taxes on time. Everybody's afraid. The kingdom is a little different than your house. But we're both. We are the household of God, but we are also Zion. We have a king here. We have to learn obedience. We have to bring everything to him. You are not the king. The elders are not. That's why Peter said so clearly, don't rule over the flock of God. This word rule has to be written into your hearts, and we have to dream about those, especially those who want to rule. I have seen few elders who don't want to reign. This is the human nature. And like the rich, they think they are something. That's what James said. James keeps talking about the rich, the rich. The Lord, save us. That's why the Lord also told Paul, not the rich of the world, not the wise, but the poor, those who are unwise. The Lord picked the fishermen. He preferred the fishermen to the doctors in Jerusalem, the theologians, those who were educated. And those who was educated like Paul, he chose Paul, but Paul counted everything as dung, and he threw it all away. Otherwise, we cannot build Zion. Here in God's house, the way is the way that Christ went. He is an example. The Lord is the example. We have to learn from him. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, this is healthy for your flesh to suffer. My flesh does not like to be suffering. It just likes to do what it wants. That's why, children, don't spoil your kids. They might cry and throw tantrums and do so much until your heart softens and you say, okay, okay, you do it. You're allowed to do it. Then they will never learn. Since Christ suffered for me, for you, for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Again here, the mind is mentioned again, the same mind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but we have the mind of Christ. That's a positive mind. That's Christ. And that we would know Christ and all the riches of God, and that we would seek after it. And also a mind to discern, to have this wonderful mind, the mind of Christ. This is what we desire. But then he also said in Philippians chapter 3, let this mind be in you, not to be proud, but to lower yourselves, humble yourselves. As the Lord, who was God, he left his glory, he left his riches, the highest position in the universe. He left that and lowered himself to not only become a man, but even to become a slave. And he said, I'm not a man, I'm a worm. Are you prepared to be a worm? What are you in the church? And he was obedient unto death. And now we see this mind here in Peter. It's a weaponizing, an arming yourself. This is the best kind of armor to be armed with. The whole armor, and this is the best armor to be ready to die, to suffer in every situation. Because our self wants to have everything. It's so selfish and rebellious. We don't want any sufferings. Suffering's shy. We just want to do what we want. Why are you so simply, easily offended? Somebody just says one thing to you that doesn't fit you, then you're upset and you react. And then you explode like a volcano and fire comes out of your nose. And out of your mouth will be a sharp sword. Are you now ready? You'll be ready to use the sword to cut off the heads of the saints, and then you'll criticize, and then you'll speak nonsense. Lord Jesus, we are not armed with this mind. We are not prepared to be suffered, even to suffer unrighteousness. We always want to justify ourselves. Why? Are you so good? Are you without mistakes? Are you better than the others? If I think on my own mistakes in my entire life, I'm not able to react because I'm not any better. Do you think that the Lord called us because we are better? Did the Lord choose and call Peter because he was better, or Philip because he was so wise? No. He was one who was a little, who couldn't think clearly in his head. He was a little slow to understand. But the Lord also needs such. Praise the Lord. The Lord called all kinds of people to be his disciples and then the apostles. To be a disciple means that they learn. What are you learning? Are you learning teachings? Paul said, you have learned Jesus. We're learning to be like Jesus. And this example here, he left us an example. Oh, Lord, don't you want to follow this example? Isn't this example wonderful? His footsteps? The Lord even left behind footsteps. What's a footstep? Why did he leave his footsteps? That we know what way we should go, step by step, to follow his footsteps. For example, he left an example, a pattern, but so that it would be even clearer, he left his footsteps behind for us to follow. We think we can go our own way, or that we have a better way, a simpler way. We have our own method. But there's no such thing. Lord Jesus. That's why the trials are so important. Oh, 15 minutes, now we have to go quickly. So let's go to the outline. To the outline. Lord Jesus. Zion. The way to build Zion. You realize that every step in the outline is so important and leads us to the building up of Zion. It's so practical. Before the foundation of the world until the building up of Zion, Peter showed us the way. And then we have to go to 2 Peter, which is even better.
Oh,
oh Lord, lead us on this way. The pattern, the example of our Lord, the suffering of Jesus Christ, an example for us to follow. There are many examples, but this is the example of all examples. There is no other example that is better than this example. All the other apostles followed this example. In the end, they all suffered. Paul said, we all must go through many trials to enter suffering, to enter into the kingdom of heavens, because this was the way the Lord entered into the kingdom. Our Lord went on this way. Should we go another way? All apostles went on this path. They took this path. There's no better path. I don't know if the story is right or not, but when it was time for Peter to be crucified, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified as our Lord, as my master. I want to be crucified upside down. He even said, I am not worthy to be crucified in the same way as he was crucified. You should put the cross upside down. I don't know if this is just a saying or a story, but whether it's true. There was such a readiness to suffer. Am I ready to do that? Just a little bit of problems, and then it also becomes a huge problem. We're not ready to love and to forgive, and we never thought that we ourselves have made so many mistakes. And then we demand so much of the others. Of course, if it's according to God's word, then we have to follow it. We have to deal and handle according to God's word because it's God's kingdom. But the relationship amongst each other for the building up, to be built up together and knit together for Zion's sake. We want to cut each other off. My goodness. If your hand or your finger, will you just cut it off? In the end, you'll have a hand without a finger. Then try and do something. Then you'll just have a palm, and you'll cut off the whole hand. And not just the right hand, but also the left. Piece by piece. And who's next? Maybe you'll be the next one to be cut off. What a shame. This is not how we know Christ. If the Lord deals with things as we do, then there won't be any more remaining members left. Once, a brother who dwelt in Rome told me, if it keeps going on like this, then God will have to return back to the beginning. As it said, in the beginning, God. Then in the end, God will be just as he was in the beginning, which is alone. Truly, if we fight against one another and bite one another, then in the end, the Lord will be just as in the beginning, alone. I laughed. I said, brother, you're right. just because I have a different opinion, do you already want to cut off my head? Then I'll be decapitated. Just because I wasn't of your opinion. Then you react according to the flesh. And you can't just suffer a little bit? You can't suffer a little bit? That's why we in the German language, oh, I can't stand that. To not stand that is like suffering in German. So you can't stand that, or you can't stand yourself. Why can you stand yourself or accept yourself so much but can't suffer with others? Now you understand that the apostle whom we should follow, we should follow him because he followed Christ, because he was an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ and also the glory of Christ. That's why he could say out of his own experience, if we suffer for Christ's sake, then this spirit of glory rests upon us. You know, the more you learn to suffer, the more glory will rest upon you. Not that when you justify yourself, then you feel so glorious. Yeah, you see, I'm right. That's not a glory. Before God, in the eyes of God, it is a shame. Just as Yoni said, what is beautiful in the eyes of God is not what is beautiful in our eyes. He who suffers the most has the most glory of God, which is our Lord. Who could suffer more than our Lord Jesus? He was perfected through suffering, and not just through suffering, but obedience. Because if you go through sufferings, but you don't obey, then you don't have any glory. Then the Lord cannot perfect you. It's through obedience, not just through suffering. Yeah, the suffering is there, but if I run away, then I can't be perfected. Then at the trial, if you don't go to the exam at the university, you won't get a diploma at the end, diploma. God's way. I don't really have to say much. I just want to show you my experience. But the word is so clear, you can read it for yourself if you want. If you obey, if you want to obey, if you want to learn, the word doesn't need a lot of messages, actually. I have known great teachers who could teach a lot, my goodness. So many books. So many books. But not an example. And in the end, the Lord has just given us one book, but all these great spiritual giants, they had so many books. If you are guests in Germany, you should go to Tübingen, which is the theologian library there. It has rows and rows, kilometers of books without end. And in the end, all the theologians there are dead. They went in believing, and then they went through theology, and after they went through their education, they were all dead, without breath, without faith.
Ich
theologian. I would rather be a fisherman. They all learned through the example of their Lord Jesus Christ. This is our way. This is the way of the Lord. If we want to build Zion today, this is the way that this fisherman, this apostle Peter showed us, and we must follow him. I thank the Lord that there were people who went this way. And the Lord made them apostles, not because they were so capable and so rich and so educated or wise, or had a high position and authority, but are liars and work together with the enemy and wanting to kill Jesus and who are jealous, etc., then if we say, oh, he was just a fisherman, why should we follow him? Even the young people, you need to follow the young people if they are right. I follow everyone who follows Jesus. And they also had to follow Timothy. Why not? It depends if you are an example. If you are an example, I will follow you, but I want to see the example. And does your example follow this example that First Peter is described in First Peter? It doesn't have to do with anything else, dear saints. Of course, we need the truth, the scripture, and the knowledge. But these are all just tools, helping things. But without this example, it won't help you at all. Rather, it will damage you, harm you. Knowledge is good, but if you don't have any life and you don't have that example, it will kill you. It will make you into a proud man. Love builds up, not the teaching. And we would do well at the end of this age to go this way. This is the way to perfection. Are you ready to go on this way? Yes. Okay. Praise the Lord, dear saints. Let us together follow this example and follow his footsteps exactly, very, very exactly, so that we will go on into glory. The Lord is not leaving everything to us to do according to our decisions and our opinions. The Lord wants to make sure that we know the way. That's why the psalmist says, show me your way and your path. The paths are the little steps. The way is in the direction. But I don't just want to see the direction. I also want to see the paths, how I get there. That's why I need the footsteps. But I have to follow the footsteps step by step. There's not just one step. There are many footsteps. Then we have to seek out these footsteps and look for light. And where will we get it? It's in the word of the Lord. His word is the light, and the Lord will show it to you step by step. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for Peter, that he also is an example to us. We are prepared, ready to follow him, that we can really follow you. We need more such people. More so that in Zion we can follow them. Young and old, we also don't want to despise the youth, nor do we want to be older thinking we're better. Father, have mercy on all of us. We cry out to you. Let us all follow you in humility. Abba, Father, be gracious to us. May grace and peace be multiplied amongst us. Lead us onward. We trust in you. We praise you for this wonderful way that you have shown us. We want to be fully established in it. We want to be the imitators. We want to remain faithful. Lord, we trust in your mercy. Amen, Lord Jesus. Amen, Father God. Amen. Amen. Oh, Father. Lord, we praise you for your speaking to us. We thank you that you have left behind your footsteps, that we can learn to follow these footsteps until you return. Strengthen us and make us ready to be, to suffer for you and for your kingdom. Thank you, Father, that you have made us imitators who not just have the knowledge, but that we are ready to follow this path all the way to the end. Thank you for the example that Peter has shown us. Help us by your Holy Spirit to enter into the reality. Amen. Thank you for all the examples, Lord, in your word. You are the greatest example of all examples, and you went this way of sufferings. We pray that you would give us much grace and mercy, that we also would be willing to go through suffering so that we might be perfected. Amen. Oh, Lord. Lord,